Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Franco Harris with Randy Harris on Knockout Radio.
Still a lot to talk about. I just announced that I will be doing three events within 24-hour span. One of those three, this Saturday in Charlotte, UFC on ABC. Let's welcome to the program Carlos Yulberg. Carlos, how are you?
Good, thank you. Good, thanks. Just getting used to the time here in Charlotte.
When did you get here?
I arrived on Saturday night, so there's a bit of time to adjust, but I'm just trying to get used to that sleep.
How, and I just asked Alex this, when did you find out that the fight started at 12 o'clock on Saturday, and is that added to the adjustment? Does it make it harder, or does it help because of the change?
Yeah, I mean, like just getting used to the time difference would be the main thing, and trying to get the sleep in, the right sleep, or the right amount of sleep, as well as trying to cut the weight. But we've been notified now that we've got moved up to the main card, which is a positive. So now we get to sleep in a little bit more.
How much sleep is enough sleep, and how much is too much?
You can never have too much sleep, man. I think the more sleep, the better, eh?
Well, I'm going to say it before Matt jumps in. It depends on your age. At my age, you know, I don't want to sleep too much of what's left of my life away.
True, fair enough. Yeah.
I'm curious, when you travel from down under to whether it's this country or, you know, wherever else you may travel, you know, for a fight or for vacation-ish, what are some items that you have to make sure you pack, whether it's, you know, the electric adapter or something that we may not think about, but that you need to bring?
Ooh, that's, I'm just having a quick look over at my suitcase now. Would definitely have to have a speaker. I had to go and purchase another speaker. I think every single time I come back to the States, I lose my speaker and then I have to go back and buy a new one. So I've got a new speaker now. Just enough to get the music pumping and get the sounds going, and just the main little toiletries here and there. You can never have too much of some things to keep yourself looking good.
So Carlos, what about on the food side? Like, my wife is Brazilian, so every time I go to Brazil, there's certain drinks and things I can't get down there. You know, things that you can just get anywhere. Is there anything that you miss from back home that you can't get while you're in Charlotte?
Yeah, I had to bring a big stack of chocolates. Just because I feel that the chocolate back home is just amazing. It's called the Whitaker's chocolates. You have to try it one day. And just got a few for some of the UFC personnel and stuff as well. Got them to try it. And then also Nutella. I wasn't too sure they had the Nutella here, or just in case we were a bit too far away, I gotta have my Nutella, you know, for breakfast. And then I guess those are the two main things. Sometimes I like to bring my own coffee as well, because I think being used to my coffee, and then I have to have my morning poop. And if I don't have my coffee, if I don't have my coffee from back home, I can't have my morning poop, man.
Your normal one. Where can people get, you know, that chocolate? And if it's only in New Zealand, I guess I'm going to have to request a piece when I come to the fight on Saturday.
Yeah, you have to. It's the Whitaker's chocolate, man. Whitaker's chocolate. They have many different. They've got the hazelnut. They've got the normal dairy milk, dark chocolate, anything you can think of. And they're all pretty good, all of them.
All right. Well, I'll have to, if you bring one to the media room after your victory, when you come and talk to all of us at media, you know, if you bring a little piece, I'll test it and I'll tell you how good it is.
Deal. Done.
We just had Alex on, obviously known as the Great White. You're the Black Jack. Talk to us about that nickname and what it means and where it comes from.
I guess it all just came back from when I was a child. for many things, actually. So I was a child, I used to love black Jaguars. It was always my kind of alias when I was playing the PlayStation. That was always the Jaguar was actually the name, so we had to just put it to Black Jag, just to shorten it up for the viewers and the fans. But I guess we went with that alias, we went with that alter ego concept of being the Black Jag. And then people always, well, I had a friend back in school who mocked me, saying that I looked like a cat just because of my nose, just the way my nose was. And he said that I have a cat nose. So he'd always call me the cat nose. And then and I always pictured myself being that Jaguar and went with it. So it took a negative into a positive, man.
And that's what it takes. You made a comment, about always looking good. And I'm sure you're sick of talking about it, but I love the name. And I don't know how many Americans know of the show. I didn't until I looked it up. The Game of Bros. Talk about that.
Yeah. Well, it originated from something called Mr. Lover Lover. And it was just a game show. You might see if you pull it up, but it was just, I was my young days. Not the proudest of it right now, but you know, at the time you're young and it's kind of like I was back in, you know, I was quite young, but anyway, that stemmed from that. Game of Bros continued. I did that another season of that, did a couple seasons of the Game of Bros, and it was just basically a similarity of a Treasure Island, if you might.
Okay.
Style. Just all different competitions on the game. So yeah.
So you basically just changed your competition, you know, from the reality, that TV show, to, you know, now the fist fight realm of competition.
That's it. Yeah. And made use of these hands and feet and made some money out of it, man.
And that's always the best part. What's the fight world like down in New Zealand, and is it continuing to grow like the UFC is blowing up? Is it blowing up down there as well?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, combat sports has always been quite big in New Zealand, boxing and kickboxing, but mixed martial arts now, seeing the success that it's had with Israel being the world champion, a lot of guys believing that they can, it's given them hope and it's given them a bit of drive to continue on. So we've got a lot of guys coming into the gym, City Kickboxing, to give it a go, and with the success that it's had, they believe that they can do it too. And then not only City Kickboxing, you've got a few other gyms who have grown too. So it's massive. It's growing widespread now, and it's getting a lot bigger, especially in the New Zealand Australia scene.
Can you walk around? I've been involved with the UFC since the very beginning, UFC 1. I've covered it since day one. We had Chuck Liddell in town, and I remember vividly a guy saw Chuck walk into this 7-Eleven type store. He crossed the medium in his car, forgot to put it in park, and ran inside to chase Chuck down. Does things like that happen in New Zealand? I mean, are you guys getting, obviously Israel, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, are you getting noticed, or are other people in gyms starting to get noticed down there as a mixed martial artist?
Yeah, for sure. But I think a lot of the Kiwis or New Zealanders are a little more respectful in that sense. If they see you with your family, then they'd kind of just let you be and just let you do your thing. But sometimes they'd just come up and expect you to, you know, they'll come up and want to take photos here and there. But that's the life, you know, that's kind of one thing that comes with the whole the story that's been told here. So
I'm on your Facebook page. You know, I like to, you know, learn a lot about people from their posts, and I see a picture of you playing chess. You call it Monopoly in your post. So, but in relation to your fight game, are you very cerebral? Do you use like the strategy of chess or Monopoly as a fighting style, or, you know, are you going to let your power and your brute force take over?
Before you answer that, if you are a Monopoly guy, you know, what's your favorite piece that you use?
My favorite piece for Monopoly?
Yeah.
Well, Monopoly was a game that I played back when I was younger. And I was always going to jail, man. I was going to jail. So I thought maybe this is telling me something, definitely for the chess. I during the COVID, we stayed in San Diego, and it was Brad Riddell that actually taught me how to play the game. We'd play every single morning just to kind of, I wanted to learn something different, and it taught me so much about me and taught me so much about the game as well. When I put two and two together and marry them together, it does put a lot of perspective into the game and how I treat the game. So there's always going to be ways if you can kind of not rush it. So I've done the same thing with my fight analysis and the way that I do things. So, yeah.
Give me your thoughts. Give us your thoughts on your opponent.
My opponent, yeah, he's southpaw, which is always going to be a tough one to deal with. He's, coming off a fresh win from Shogun Ho, obviously. And he's, there you go.
How much goes into, and I asked Alex this earlier, how much do you put into research, watching your opponent, or is it more what you're going to do on Saturday, not what he's going to do or how he's going to defend what you're going to do?
Yeah, I spend a bit of time doing my research. I think if I can understand his tendencies, what he does, his favorite punch or his favorite kick or what he tends to not want to do, his weaknesses as well, and his strengths. So I try to do that a little earlier and then go into my training, do what I need to do, and then I kind of complete it again a bit later in the camp. So I'm always on the lookout to see what they're doing as well, what kind of training they're doing. I always keep an eye on my opponents. I want to know where their head's at. And I think every little thing counts in this game. It's all the art of war. So those are the things that I apply. The art of war and trying to get the best knowledge that I can from my opponent.
Every advantage obviously is huge.
So Carlo, with that being said, my business partner in Colorado, we own a vertical gym, and it trains you in the sympathetic nervous system. And his wife is from Australia, and I know that region of the world is so forward when it comes to strength and conditioning and sciences, neurosciences. So you've had the experience of going back and forth and training and competing at both countries. Where do you feel is more advanced? Like, who do you think has the edge as far as technology and future advancement?
MMA,
for fighters, for recovery, from red light therapy to vibration plate training, bone density, all the futuristic type of recovery and performance matrix.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's something that I'm definitely looking into. I follow Andrew Huberman. I guess that's one guy that I've sort of just watched or listened to. He used to be a fighter himself, so he kind of applies all the talks that he does around fighters as well, athletes. So that's something I listen to. We don't have too much back home in New Zealand, so I kind of try to do my things there. We do have one guy that I've been doing some a lot of breath work and a lot of controlling of our focus ability is Dave Wood. You'll have to look him up, but all I do is I go into the pool, do a bit of work with him, and I think a lot of the guys from the gym and successful guys also work with him. So we get a lot of knowledge from this fella who's obviously good at what he does, and I guess we're kind of just learning and trying to get better at this game too, and I guess every little bits of knowledge that we can get from each person is beneficial for us.
So along with Huberman, Dr. Lane Norton is also huge in that space, and his wife Holly Baxter is from Australia. Lauren Simpson. So you have some serious knowledge of her fitness industry coming out of that region of the world. And I just, you know, I know just as a population, everybody tries to be healthy in that region of the world. So I just didn't know which country you thought was more like living a healthier lifestyle or more performance forward.
Yeah,
like Australia, right? Because whenever I travel to Australia, you've got a lot of people out early in the morning getting up. There's lots of sun there in Australia, so everyone wants to get fit. They want to look good. So I love going to Australia every single time because you get the energy, you feel the energy, and you feed off that as well. So everyone's up early in the morning, going for walks, and I guess you gain from that too. So Australia would be the one.
There you go. Carlos, thank you very much for your time. I'm going to take you up. You didn't offer. I asked for the piece of chocolate I want to try on Saturday. But have fun on Saturday, and I'll talk to you in the media room after your victory.
No worries. Cheers, man.
Take care.
Cheers.
That is Carlos Juhlberg. I'm not going to go to New Zealand anytime soon. Listen,
just ask Robert Whitaker for some. It's Whitaker's chocolate.
His? Oh, it's his.
No, it's not his. I know it's not. But you can get it on Amazon.
Can you really?
Yeah.
Order me some.
It's $40 like for a box or whatever it is.
Well, I bought my wife, even though I never have done this, I don't buy my wife Mother's Day things.
Okay.
Because she's not my mother.
Right.
You know, I buy my mom stuff. I'm not.
Makes sense.
It's my wife. Kids are especially at this age.
You get away with that?
But I always have. She's always hated it, but she knows that's how I stand. But I ordered her some Charles chips just really for the can. The chips were always good back in the day.
Okay.
But it's the can that we all remember that would be delivered to your door and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I delivered that to
her. These are $10 a bar.
All right, buy me one.
Four bars are $40.
All right, well, get me one.
Deliver on Amazon.
Because I don't think Carlos has given me one.
So if you send me your address, I'll send you out a care package from 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
All right, let's go hit a break. When we come back, we continue. Tim Means coming up at the bottom of the hour as well. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Wes Welker, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
John Elway, you're listening to Talkin' Sports with Randy Harris.
Special.
I don't know.
What am I taking home?
I just got here. I just come for the show.
And then you leave. I do notice that.
I leave when you go.
I do notice that.
I'm,
all right.
I'm the talent.
So, yeah, sure you are. So we've gone from the Great White to the Black Jag.
Yeah.
To now the Dirty Bird. Let's welcome back to the program, Tim Means. Tim, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. Approaching your 50th pro fight, how has the whole process of training, fight week, all of that changed over that period?
Just got smarter with diet and nutrition and, you know, taking hard sparring out, a lot of hard sparring out every day, and, you know, mix that stuff up. So I think I'm almost have 50 fights in MMA, but I have a little over 50 fights in boxing and Muay Thai and everything, pro fights. So it's gotten better as we've gone along, lot better training partners, and people understand how to train now.
Is the love, the feeling for the sport the same, you know, now as it was then? And the reason I ask that, a friend of mine, I played for the Bucks, and then he was in the Ultimate Fighter around UFC 100, Marcus Jones. And he always told me that he didn't like football. He was just good at it. And that was his profession, but he wasn't really in love with it. Do you love the sport as much as you did at the very beginning?
I do. I enjoy the competition part. If I didn't, I wouldn't be here. I can find other ways to get a paycheck, the easier ways to get a paycheck. But yeah, the competition, there's nothing like fight week, nothing like the build up, blood, sweat, and tears, all that good stuff. So I wouldn't be here if there wasn't good energy and still a drive to want to compete.
Do you try to, when it's fight week and now you've had so many of them, do you try to like stay consistent? It's always, you know, media stuff on Wednesday, relax or rest, a little training maybe on Thursday, or do you mix it up, or do you try to not think about the fun that's coming on Saturday, or do you try to kind of center on it?
I pay attention to the how many hard intensity practices we have back to back. I pay attention to those things. I eat based on how hard a practice will be, not based on calories or anything like that. But yeah, just taking everything in one step at a time. It's this fight week. I got asked this question earlier. This fight week's the exact same as if, you know, I'm walking through the UFC doors or walking into the gym for the very first time. I still have that excitement and that I want to be here mentality. It's an exciting week, and Alex Morona is an exciting fighter, a violent fighter. So these are the fights you chase after.
I know we've had you on before, and we've talked about all types of things. Are you a guy that wants to or needs to dislike your opponent? Are you a guy that it doesn't matter, it's just competition? Or how does that fall in for you?
You know, when I was younger, you found reasons to not like the guy standing across from you. And, you know, I've been with this company for such a long time that I've gotten to know people pretty good, you know, on a social level. So right now you just put in your mind that, you know, Alex is a good guy, nice guy. But you make more money when you win fights, and it feels better when you're getting your hand raised, and it feels better when all that training comes to fruition and you're sitting on the winning side of that, of those railroad tracks. It doesn't always happen. You know, you put your all in and leave it all in the cage or leave it all in the octagon. If it happens, it happens, but it's better to get your hand raised. But when you look yourself in the mirror, you've left it all in the octagon. You have no complaints for yourself.
So Tim, obviously we were talking about the fight ahead of us, and we're not looking past that. But looking back, November 21st, 2020, you beat a Mike Perry, who is now a rising star in bare knuckle. Have you ever like looked at it and like thought after the MMA career is over, yeah, you know, maybe would you do something like that or entertain an idea like that?
You know, man, I'm a fighter at the end of the day. You know, money talks, and you know, if the excitement's there and my body's still allowing me to cut weight and put in the hard training camps and run with these young guys, it's absolutely a possibility. I've been doing this my whole life, so you know, fighting is pretty normal for me anymore. But you know, right now we're looking at Alex, and you know, we have to deal with that guy first.
For sure. I'm curious, and again, not that it's because of how many fights, but with the as many fights as you've had, are you a collector of memorabilia? Have you collected, you know, and kept stuff from either your fights or friends that are in the fight game? And is there something maybe, and it doesn't even have to be fight related, memorabilia wise, that you would be interested in obtaining?
I give most of my stuff away. Nephews and people I know ask for stuff. I sign my gloves, give that stuff away, fight gear. I'm not big on collecting things. Looking back, you know, maybe like I have posters that are framed and from each fight, and that's about it really. But maybe I should have collected more stuff. I might have that regret down the road, but as of right now, I haven't.
I'm sure my wife wishes, A, she was listening to this, and B, you could talk me into that, and so I could get rid and clean up some of the house that I've cluttered. What has MMA done for you, and what can MMA do, you know, for anyone and everyone?
Martial arts in general have, you know, slowed me down, slowed my thinking down. It's given me a way to put food on my table and give me a way to vent anger and frustrations and just pretty much centered me and slowed me down when I started taking it serious. You know, my earlier days, I was a young, angry kid that couldn't figure out why I was mad all the time. And it just helped me find myself. Martial arts in general saved my life.
I just found out, and I think I just told, it was either Alex or Carlos, I don't remember which one. I just found out 2 days ago that this UFC starts at noon. When did you find out, and does that change the process on Saturday, where normally they start, you know, 3 on the West, 6 on the East? Does that change anything at all for you?
Yeah, I found out, I think yesterday, that show starts super early. Right now, it changes the time that we're working out and getting times done, trying to get ready for that fight time, but. Right now, I don't really know if it would matter if it was late, early. I like the fact that it is earlier, you know, get it done, get out of here, go eat some barbecue, hang out. But, yeah, I found out yesterday about how early the show was, which that's exciting in itself. We're going to get in there, get done, get out.
A, I don't feel as bad, you know, since the fighters are just now finding out. And I wished I knew, because I could have flown home Saturday after the fight. We would have had plenty of time to get on a plane, but I didn't know that. Are you a fan of other sports, other teams, other athletes?
I like watching football and hockey, you know, boxing. You know, I'm a fan of a lot of sports. You know, just footwork intrigues me, and watching people do their craft is impressive.
Interesting. Can you watch, and I always ask, you know, athletes this, can you watch whatever, whether it's a fight or a football game or whatever, as a fan and not always trying to pick something up to improve your game?
That's hard to do, because I get a kick out of hand fighting and footwork, like I was saying. But it's easier being an athlete on this side not to be so critical and criticize people when they're making mistakes and be so hard on people when things happen, they're not having a good day. Sitting there watching football games with family and stuff, you know, every quarterback sucks or every wide receiver sucks. They should have caught it when they touched it or whatever. But it's easier for me not to criticize, knowing I've been on the same side of that stuff. So some days you have those off days. It is what it is on those things. But as of being a fan of individuals, I can't say that I've really been starstruck with a lot of people I've got to meet and communicate with, met a lot of cool people over the years. I think the biggest one was Chef Ramsay. Was the one I was like, whoa, it's Gordon Ramsay, and, you know, got to meet him and talk to him. I was a little more starstruck with the chef than I was with any athlete.
Very cool. And what I didn't necessarily mean by criticism, and I say this all the time on the show, I'm a licensed judge in the state of Florida, and if I want to watch a fight as a fan, I'll look away for like 10 seconds at the beginning of the fight, because then I can't judge it. If I don't watch the whole round, how can I judge that round? So I can enjoy it as a fan and watch it and not feel like I'm working.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
What can the fans expect when you and Alex get in the octagon on Saturday?
You have two hardworking guys that like to get in front of people and throw down. This has violence written all over it. Fan-friendly fight of the night.
It'll be awesome. As always, Tim, thank you very much for your time. I know we got your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong. Enjoy the week, enjoy the process, and have fun on Saturday.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Take care. That's the Dirty Bird. I wonder if he's a Falcon fan, because they're
the Dirty Birds.
Yeah, they are called the Dirty Birds up in Atlanta. Atlanta will be playing, I believe, in London, as the London schedule has come out.
In the Wembley Arena?
I don't know where.
Okay.
You know, it's you have a station on here that I don't like to watch.
Why?
Because it drives me crazy. And see, if Dave Manley was on, he could calm me down.
Yeah.
I hate when anybody, not just the Four Letter Network, says the Rays last night in Tampa. Well, the Rays don't play in Tampa.
It's close enough. It's like New Zealand, Australia. It's the same thing.
Well, you notice how that's not how Carlos took it.
That's fine. But that's the same thing.
It's not the same
Tampa
thing.
Tampa Bay, it's a region.
Hold on.
It's like the area.
Tampa Bay is different.
It's like Tampa. It's like America and Mexico after midnight tonight.
We will be the same.
Immigration 42 will pass, and then all the borders will open and flood. We're all going to be one region. We're all South American now, or Central American.
Thanks for trying to really rile me up.
No, why? You want to go to the border? They're recruiting like thousands of agents.
I know.
Like, let's go.
And do what?
Go down there. What can we do? Build a wall?
You know what you can do?
Build a fence?
You can do like everybody else is going to do and watch them walk in.
Can we get him in training camp? Maybe we can get Cejudo conditioned right. Isn't he from down there?
Cejudo should be your champion.
Is that how he came across?
Cejudo should be your champion.
I'm just saying he didn't look conditioned. I want to get him conditioned.
He looked victorious. And again, I'm not arguing that Sterling won or Henry lost. I'm just saying the most obvious thing that I have seen in a long time was round five.
Well, you gotta leave it out of the hands of the judges.
No, I understand that.
That's your job.
Absolutely.
As a fighter.
Yeah, you only have yourself to blame. I get that. But if Helen Keller would have scored that right.
Don't talk bad about Helen Keller.
It's nurse week. I can do whatever I want. Hey, I want to thank Sonny's, by the way, for hooking up nurses with free food.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was free, whatever they're called.
But I think
meal deals.
But looking back at the old UFC rules, and I know it's a different modern sport with the grounded knee and the downed opponent, but Henry had so many opportunities. He could have done knees
ground. Yeah, I saw on his Twitter, he's one of the few people I follow, and read. And he said that after re-watching that, he said that, you know, he learned some things and saw some things and he could have taken advantage of some things.
Sure. Because you always learn in a fight, like going back. I mean, hindsight's always 20/20.
Sure.
Right?
Well, and again, it just bothers me that it was so obvious. It's like I was talking to somebody earlier today. What was it? The perfect game that got blown at first base by the Detroit Tigers when the umpire called him safe when he was out by six blocks or vice versa. I don't even remember the situation. You know, those things bother me. You know, on a very close fight, and that was a very close fight. You know, every round, in my opinion, except for round five, was very, very close.
Speaking of learning something new, I just learned something new today I didn't even know about. Would you like to hear it?
Not really.
Here it goes. Back in the Prohibition days when alcohol was illegal, right, they used to make shoe soles that looked like cow hoofs. So that way the cops couldn't track footprints. They would just think it was like cows in the pasture.
It's smart.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
We got to bring this back.
Well, it's like, do you watch Catch a Smuggler?
No.
It's a TV show, and it seems to, 90% of the time, it's in other countries. It has been in New York, and it's, they catch the smugglers, and there's been cocaine in shoes, or, you know, the fake inners of luggage, or, you know, where they'll build the thing in Tijuana, you know, when they drive over and there's hidden compartments and stuff.
But hooves, like sole of shoes that look like hooves. If I was a fighter, I would make myself the Mad Cow. That would be my fighter name.
Yeah, that's
we had the Dirty Bird.
No, I would rather you be the Mad Cow Disease.
I'm the Mad Cow Boy. That's what I would go by. Mad Cowboy, because I got the beard. And then Dave Manley.
Yeah, the gray thing. The gray thing.
Dave, that's flour. Yeah. I'm not getting old, Randy. Yeah. I'm reversing age.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm futuristic.
See, this is why Dave Manley should end the show, because I'm over this. All right, so I'm going to have fun this weekend.
Yeah, you're going three places at once?
Three events, not three places. We will be covering and documenting for the YouTube channel three combat sports events in 24 hours.
So BKFC 42.
We're going to BKFC in Greenville, South Carolina on Friday.
UFC Saturday.
Once I found out that the UFC was at noon on Saturday, BYB is in Rock Hill, South Carolina, Saturday night.
Wow.
So I called my doctor, Dr. Google, and I said, I think it was Siri, but whatever. How far is Rock Hill to Charlotte? Now, I'm sure it's not exact, but I believe it said 8 miles.
You're like the Bo Jackson of media. Like, you're going to go to, like, one game in the morning and fly.
Dion did.
Oh, the helicopter.
Yeah, Dion did the helicopter. Yeah. And he played baseball and football.
Yeah, baseball, football on the same day. And went and played golf in the morning. Like, you know, it's...
Yep. Know. No, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to cover the three events. We'll get to... we should be able to get to all three press conferences, too. And especially if I have a piece of chocolate waiting. I got to wait at the UFC one.
Just find Robert Whittaker. He's probably got him in his bag.
Robert Whittaker, as I'm sure you know, it was announced that he's fighting Duplessis.
Yeah.
And the winner gets Israel.
Sure.
So... I find that most people are going to root for Duplessis now.
You think so?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, because of the trash talking, because what he has said, what Israel said, you know, does Robert deserve it? Yeah, he's there. And if he wins this fight, absolutely. But we've seen it. We've done it. They haven't been close fights.
And speaking of trash talking, you have Aljamain Sterling, who said, I'm going to go up and fight Alex Volkanovski. And Volkanovski said, go fight somebody with a name before you mention my name. I like that.
And I believe, wasn't it just announced that he's the main event July 8th?
Oh, is he? For the International Fight Week?
Yeah, International Fight Week, the main event, him versus Rodriguez, Whittaker, Duplessis, Robbie Lawler versus Nico Price. And like
that's,
I said...
That's Robbie's final showdown.
Well, that's coming from Dana. Have we heard that from Robbie?
Did you think that if Sugar Sean O'Malley was not allowed to go into the ring after the fight and do that face-off, which Dana said audibly that he regretted making that decision, allowing that in the octagon face-off. Do you think that Henry would have laid those gloves down? Because we saw Dana help him take them off. It looked like he was done. He looked like he was going to retire. He looked like he was going to leave him in the middle of the octagon. And then that whole scrummage broke off, and it took away from that moment.
If you follow Henry Cejudo on social media, he's already talking about the future. So I'm glad that happened then, because the last thing I want is somebody to do that, go through all that, and then go, well, I just got caught up in the moment. I'm going to go up. I'm going to go after the next title, blah, 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 blah. I don't think he should retire.
No, I think he should.
Like I said, I thought he won the fight, which means nothing. You're not the champ. I get that. And no disrespect to Sterling. He is your champ. When people thought that he took it on technicality, he has proven himself since.
With the Peter Yan fight,
right.
and the down knee, right?
So nothing.
Can we go back to just anyone wins? Just no eye gouging, no groin shots, and just whatever.
Well,
happens,
hold on a second.
Happens.
Hold on. If you're going to go back to the early day, groin strikes were allowed.
Oh, okay. Well, then go back to that. There's no eye poking.
Google Keith Hackney. I think it was Keith's first name.
That was his signature move.
Yeah, that was a groin strike after groin strike. And, you know, he was frowned on in the locker room. But if it's the rule, it's the rule.
It's effective.
And if it's not the rule, it's not the rule.
Well, the whole UFC started with the no holds barred, right. There's no rules.
Well, there was a few rules. No eye poking, no fish hooking.
Fish hooking. Right.
And
no
like,
noogies.
You know, headbutts were down there. I remember vividly, you know, you'd be on top and you're headbutting. You know,
because the rule set now, it gives, you know, it's not as
barbaric.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not as barbaric. All right. Let's go hit our final break of the afternoon. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
You're as cold as ice.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Alice Cooper talking with Randy Harris on Talking Sports.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. And remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bill Romanowski, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, in the political or unpolitical or whatever all these words are that I don't know,
woke society.
All right, all that crap. Sometimes things are funny, whether they're right or wrong, and tell the text or the tweet. And who tweeted it? Well, is that our guy?
Max Payne.
Max Payne.
Yeah, he. Breaking news. Police have released Hezbollah's
which I still don't understand. He's got his own trading card.
After being arrested for violating traffic laws in Dagestan, and the mugshot shows from 3 feet up to 6'6", and there's nothing there. There's no image of a person. So thanks to Max Payne Griffin. Keep us up to date on all the UFC breaking news. And it's pretty funny.
No, it was funny.
It is funny. So that's good.
All right. So the NFL schedule comes out tomorrow.
Before we cross the NFL lines, before we go outside.
Now it's too much?
Well, I like the combat sport world, and your boy came back. He's back. You know who's back?
No.
Super Sage Northcutt.
Yeah, he fought in Denver.
Yeah. And he won in 39-second victory.
Yeah.
Took 4 years off.
Well, I wouldn't say it that way.
He had a sister similar to Cheryl Miller, like very talented.
From what I was told by a close insider, she was better than he was and is.
Yeah.
I mean, she was phenomenal. And Sage, took time off, but it was from the results. A lot of it was from the results of his last fight.
Yeah.
Which was not pretty.
Sure.
I still think he got railroaded. He should have been, in Creed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, speaking of...
too small.
Speaking of Creed, your boy...
another boy. How many boys do I have?
Well, your hometown hero, Sylvester Stallone, has a new movie that he's producing, and he said that none of that woke movement stuff is allowed on his set. He will not tolerate it.
Like what? What?
Like this whole woke movement, like the whole, political correctness thing you're just talking about even though it's like maybe not correct.
More importantly... I don't want to ever hear from you again about Philadelphia and my hometown.
Well, Bill Burr did a stand-up comedy special there.
Because you just said, not the Bill Burr thing, you just said my hometown hero.
Yeah, he is.
Well, that means Philadelphia's my hometown.
Well, he's a fake character. He's not even a real person. But he's like the city put a statue of him and stairs.
Okay, first of all... when you say something, at least know what you're talking
about. The Egyptian built pyramids. You guys built stairs to
Philadelphia didn't build that statue.
Who did it?
Stallone did.
Stallone donated it?
Yeah. Well, first of all, he didn't donate it. He couldn't pick it up and move it because it was too big. So
it's not life size.
He left it at the Spectrum. And then the city of Philadelphia moved it from the Spectrum to the museum steps. But it was built for Rocky. whatever number it was. I don't remember. Three, four, maybe three. When he throws the helmet at it and all that stuff. So the city had nothing to do with it. The city didn't even want it. The city wanted him to take it. And now it's on the list of tourist stops.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And I remember, like I just said, we're doing three events in 24 hours. We did two different photo ops at the statue in the same day. One at night, so we got the different...
Oh, different lighting.
Climbed up on it a little bit.
Well, didn't you do this in Philadelphia once where you went to an Eagles game, a Phillies game, yeah. A Sixers game, all in the same, and then a concert?
Yeah.
All in the same day?
Yeah, a Kiss concert.
Oh.
Yeah, speaking of which. I'm trying to back them into my photo. I've been tweeting, so we'll see if somebody responds to that.
But yeah, Bill Burr is not a fan of your hometown.
Well, I believe my hometown's not a fan of Bill Burr.
Well, they boo everybody. They boo Santa Claus.
They didn't boo Santa Claus.
Look it up. They booed Santa Claus.
They
throw batteries at John Rucker.
No, and Mike Schmidt. I believe they threw something at him. hey, don't have a bad day in Philly.
You should be arrested like Hezbollah and get charged with battery.
They grease their light poles. So that, you know, morons can't, even though they still do, they shimmy up and they sit up by the lights and throw stuff at cars. And it's my hometown.
Yeah.
Hey, it is what it is.
Well, I thought that clip was pretty funny, though. You guys have Joe Frazier, like a legit champion, and then you guys celebrate a fictional, mythical 3-foot Italian guy.
Okay, he's not 3 foot. And,
3'2".
And just so you know, and I've said this numerous times.
You stand next to Hezbollah in the photo.
There's many portions of the movie Rocky was taken from Joe Frazier's life. Joe Frazier did a lot of those things.
Oh, okay.
He ran, I've told you this numerous times. Thanks for tuning in. He ran, you know, South Street. He ran up the steps. He pounded the meat in the meat factory. So a lot of those things were taken. And I've told you the story how I walked into a UFC once back in the day, and I was wearing a Rocky Balboa shirt, and I was told to take it off, that I was not welcome in that room wearing that shirt.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
The person told me to take it off, and I said, but I don't have anything else. He goes, I'll go get you a UFC shirt. Take that off. And he made me take the shirt off.
Wow.
And this person was associated with Joe Frazier when allegedly the meetings and, you know, talking and a lot of that stuff kind of intertwined.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. Do you remember a franchise called Fuddruckers?
Yeah.
It was like a beef. And they had the beef hanging.
Yeah,
like,
and they had the
window.
Meat just sitting there.
Yeah. I applied for a job there just so I could, like, practice my boxing and, like, punch.
Yeah, that's what they want you to do is crack the ribs.
Punch meat while I was working. So I was, like, getting paid to train.
Never.
That's a dream job, to get paid to work out. Oh, wait, I do. I'm living my dream. Hey, I'm living my dream. I just got to get some hoof-made shoes. Maybe the Fuddrucker, they don't need the feet anymore. So I can just use those and make some shoes, and then we can do some illegal, like, prohibition stuff. Randy, what would you smuggle back from Colombia?
Nothing.
You wouldn't smuggle anything back?
No. What would I say? Why would you smuggle? More importantly, why would you say what you would smuggle?
Well, what can we bring from Mexico? Because apparently at midnight.
I got a better idea. What would you smuggle?
Oh, marinara sauce.
Because I want you to say the right thing, and then I'm going to ship it off to the TSA, and I want to see you fly out of this country.
Well, you have informants. You guys travel with
that's
CIA.
Legend.
Legislature, she called them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But look,
shocking. I get a contact in our undercover call somebody else.
A contact high is what you're going to get. But what can we smuggle from Mexico? All these people coming over tonight. What should we bring? Like Uber Eats? Can we order? You know.
Well, you wouldn't be smuggling it. It's not smuggling. No, I'm saying if when the border crashes,
you got to hide it. You got to hide it to be considered smuggling.
It would be smuggling if it's illegal. They're legally invading.
Yeah, they're just walking across.
Right, they're just walking across.
They're going to end at midnight. They can't stop it. So
they claim they're going to try, but
maybe I can get a couple employees out of it. Although DeSantis just said that you can't hire any undocumented immigrants.
They're
going to start cracking down.
But supposedly the buses are there, and they're going to put them on buses and take them to Washington D.C.
Are they really?
Yeah,
like DeSantis did?
Yeah, just drop them off.
Wow. Maybe I can get a ride to Charlotte with you guys, or with them. Maybe I'll meet you there.
Maybe I don't want to go to Houston.
Oh, it might be a little too rough.
Maybe I'll pass on that. Anyway.
Maybe the turkey leg would be a cow leg. Yeah. The only part left. Beats used for boxing and the
I guess for smuggling. The Jake Paul press conference with Nate Diaz.
Yeah, how's that going?
Well, I saw a clip. There's a website that Sean watches or listens a lot. I don't remember what it's called. I think it was Barstool. I think. I don't know. And a guy, this is what gives. It's bad enough what what you do to the media.
What do I do?
You give Knockout Radio a bad name. You give media the bad name. You give the human race a bad
credibility.
Name. This guy says to Nate Diaz, I've been trying to get on the undercard. Is there any way that I could fight your brother because he's as much as a blankety blank blank as you are? And, you know, Nate said some things back and he's like, you know, you got to walk outside. This is a guy who just got arrested for, you know, an outside street fight. And I don't know if it was phony, if it was fixed, if it whatever. And then a guy you hear say he works for me and he will be fired later today. So I wonder if he goes away. I wonder if he gets fired if he leaves. When you got fired,
Yeah, I don't go anywhere.
You didn't go anywhere.
But look, even though people are harsh and critical of the Paul brothers for not being legitimate boxers and YouTube stars.
They are legitimate.
Listen, on average, 18 boxers die every year.
What does that have to do with Jake Paul?
Well, because they put themselves in real danger to entertain people, right? And even though they claim that they're novelties and they're not real athletes or not real boxers, it's a dangerous sport. And the facts are there.
All right. I'm going to end, even though we have about 7 minutes. You've struck a nerve.
What?
You've pissed me off.
What? Did boxers die?
No, boxers do die. I was at a fight where a boxer died.
It's a dangerous
sport. It was UFC, I think it was 37 and a half. Chuck Liddell fought Babalu, I believe, at 37 and a half. That night, there was a boxing event at MGM, and a guy who fought that night died that night. Boxers die. I'm not saying that. Athletes die. I'm not saying that. What I hate is the comment that you said, you know, that they're for your entertainment. I don't buy that. I don't think any of these athletes, whether it's the fighters we had on today, they're fighting because that's how they make money. They're fighting because that's their career. They're not fighting to entertain you.
You don't. Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Yes, they're modern day gladiators.
No, they're not.
They are. That's what they do.
You know, it's.
You don't think they make more money selling Prime energy drinks? Like, you don't think Logan Paul makes more money as an endorsement of a brand?
Absolutely.
Without taking punches to the face.
Absolutely. Which makes sense. But it's kind of like, you know, where fans, you know, love this team so much and they hate this player. Donovan Smith has gotten more hate over the past couple of years. You know, the guy signed for 50-some million dollars. I wish you hated me that much.
And got 57 million.
And have 50-some million dollars in the bank. You know, I've lived it too. Like, I hated Lenny Dykstra. Hated him. Never met the guy in my life. Hated him. He was a New York Met. He was an instigator. He was all the things I love. But because he played for the New York Mets, I didn't like him. Well, as soon as he became a Philadelphia Philly, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread until he hit the tree.
Well, because you're biased. Then it's different. You're a biased media guy.
It's not biased. First of all, I was young and not in the media then. And B, that's what fans do. That's what they are.
I thought you were born into the media. I thought you were like hatched and then you automatically came out of the microphone.
No.
You've been doing this your whole life.
I have been doing this. well, 90-80% of my life.
You came out the womb and they're like, Randy, what do you think about the play?
I came out with a microphone.
How do you think the doctor did? Were they giving the right instructions in the corner?
Did I blast them? This doctor screwed up. Unbelievably awful.
But speaking of somebody that's about to make some money coming into the NFL, Green Bay Packers were allocated Nigerian defensive lineman Kenneth
Ogbonnuga. I knew a Nigerian athlete.
Yeah.
So, haven't seen or heard from him in forever.
6'5" Nigerian. What is it about that region of the world? Now, I'm going to group regions together. New Zealand, Australia. All of Africa, North and South America.
You are an idiot.
So we'll call that Central America.
You're an idiot.
But like, what is it about the Nigerian breed that just makes these dudes so big? I mean, Francis Ngannou, who just signed with a new promotion.
I don't know, but go ahead. Who's bigger than Ngannou?
I don't know. I
mean, Omos.
Who's that?
Yeah, exactly.
But they all come from that region.
Omos,
right?
Yeah. I believe is from Nigeria. I think he went to USF. He's a WWE wrestler. I think he's.
I got the monster.
9'4".
Yeah. 700 pounds.
They can't put him in the ladder matches you know, where they hang like the Money in the Bank, where you have to climb a ladder and grab it because he doesn't need the ladder. He'll just reach up and snatch that thing down.
That guy's a monster.
He is huge.
Yeah.
Not very, I don't want to say he's not athletic. He's certainly not going to get on top of a ring rope and fly and do the stuff that Logan Paul is a legitimate WWE superstar.
For sure.
Now, they're all called superstars.
And they're entertainers as well.
They are entertainers. That's what wrestlers are. Athletes aren't necessarily entertainers. Their job is to go out and play football. Their job is to go fight. Yeah, you're going to watch, but it's kind of like I was saying before, as a fan, you expect or you love the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Do you know how many Tampa Bay Buccaneers love the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Not many.
Three.
I was going to say two, but whatever. Okay, whatever. That's their job. And so when it's time for them to move to another job, they move.
Well, speaking of moving to a new job, Orlando owner of the Magic has proposed a new stadium for the Rays.
I don't believe Pat Williams. Outside. I don't believe Pat Williams is the owner.
Oh, it's SeaWorld. They proposed a site outside SeaWorld for a new Rays stadium.
Pat Williams is behind that. Pat Williams is who helped bring the Orlando Magic and get the team, kind of like Phil Esposito.
Rays Central Florida would support a baseball team in Orlando with the world, you know, the tourism and the amount of people around the world?
Possibly. And I hope Disney then moves to Carolina because I will never go to Orlando. Just because of traffic, not because of my hatred of the Rays.
Well, they're about to have a light speed rail, right? The high speed rail is about, if you could get on a train and go right across.
And how much is the train?
$749.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. All right, want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank all of our guests. Believe it or not, it was a pretty damn good show, especially when Matt wasn't talking. The show will be back up on all of our Twitter accounts. See everybody next week. This has been Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Song.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Matt Leiner, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.